2 years ago, on the 5th of July in 2018, the nave of Westminster Abbey, in which I'm now standing, was packed with a huge diversity of people and professions. They were just a small fraction of the great multitude that constituted the National Health Service as it celebrated its 70th birthday. Now, at the age of 72, the NHS is arguably an even more beloved part of our national life than it was then. And we have even more reason to be grateful for all the people who make it work. From receptionists to registrars, from porters to physiotherapists. Their professionalism and endurance have seen us through what we hope is the worst of this pandemic, and they continue to be a beacon of humanity at its very best, caring for the most vulnerable, sometimes tragically at the cost of their own lives. We salute them today. The nave of the Abbey is a phenomenal space, 31 metres from floor to vault, one of the tallest in the country, started in the 14th century and not completed until the early 16th. It is a great space in which to gather, still feeling lofty and uplifting no matter how many people are packed in. It is at its very best when filled with colour and sound, trumpets thrilling the air, organ rumbling the foundations. However, it probably isn't going to be quite like that for a while yet. It is wonderful to be able to reopen for public worship on July the 5th, but congregations will have to be small and choirs will not sing nor trumpets be blown for some time. We have to wait. Since we reopened for private prayer 3 weeks ago, the nave has slowly begun to feel more prayed in, thanks to those who have come to sit quietly and to light their candles. From July 5th, we will be able to resume publicly what we have been doing privately, praying at the heart of the nation and offering the Eucharist for the peoples of this land, for our monarch and all who bear authority and responsibility under her. We continue to give thanks to God for those in the National Health Service and the great diversity of critical workers who have brought us safely to this point. And let us continue to pray for healing in this nation, not just for those who are ill, but also for those wounds in our society that cause division, that privilege some and disadvantage others, that prevent us from being truly gathered as one people, under the God who has made us each equally in his image and likeness. Let us pray. Grant, we beseech thee, merciful God, that thy church, being gathered together in unity by thy Holy Spirit, may manifest thy healing power among all peoples to the glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Gospel is read by Mariama Ifode Blies, one of the Queen's almsmen at the Abbey, and soon to be ordained to the parish of St. James Piccadilly here in Westminster.
A reading from St. Matthew's Gospel. Jesus said, "But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
If I could give you information of my life, it would be to show how a woman of very ordinary ability has been led by God in strange and unaccustomed paths to do in his service what he has done in her. And if I could tell you all, you would see how God has done all, and I nothing. I have worked hard, very hard, that is all, and I have never refused God anything. These words of Florence Nightingale perhaps stop us in our tracks with their humility and clarity. Florence Nightingale was a person of resolute faith and service, faith in Christ and at the service of those in need. She offered comfort, healing, and rest to the wounded, and became in her life, as well as in subsequent tales, a sign of hope to those around her. Not for nothing were the field hospitals built at the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic called the Nightingales. Not for nothing is our annual celebration of the nursing profession held here each May, known as the Florence Nightingale Service. On July the 5th, Westminster Abbey, along with thousands of churches up and down the land, will reopen for public worship. This is a time for all of us to recommit to those virtues of faith and service. Many of us have been sustained by our faith during this lockdown. Others will have found it extremely hard to maintain either the physical practices which help us focus on prayer, or the mental and spiritual exercises which help to carry and nourish the Christian life, especially during a period like this. Those in hospital or receiving care at home will have encountered something of the love of God in those who have cared for them. As Florence Nightingale knew so well, this power of care, of insistent, non-negotiable hope and love, is indestructible because it is the power of God. Emerging from our lockdown and taking the first steps of a next phase will be difficult for each of us in different ways. Even those at the extrovert end of the spectrum may find managing increasing conversation and contact, along with all the demands that can bring, quite awkward. The fear of infection has not gone away, and essential physical distancing will still govern much of our social and community life for a while yet. So in today's Gospel, Jesus gets to the heart of the matter. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. The opening of our churches is a wonderful sign of that eternal offer from the Word made flesh, who offers us Sabbath rest. Not idleness, but the peace and fullness of life which comes from knowing Christ and his kingdom, a rest which empowers us. Come to me, says Jesus, not worried about physical distancing or awkward chat or fear of the future. Just come to me, stop wriggling, and accept the gift of rest and recreation. Many critics of Christian faith like to point to seemingly contradictory promises. Abundant life set against assurances of persecution. Well, the crowd at Calvary tried the same line with Jesus. He saved others. He can't save himself. But ever since the first disciples were told to take up their cross and follow, it has been abundantly clear that Christian discipleship is not a removal from the world, but a costly loving it into life, with a power and a dynamism which is not our own, and which comes from nowhere in this world. We have partners and fellow pilgrims in this project, so essential that ever since New Testament times we've described them in familial terms as sisters and brothers. They we, with Christ, make up the church a body, totus Christus, as St. Augustine puts it, the whole Christ, caput et corpus, head and body. That is the context of our emergence from lockdown, as we begin to come together again, sharing, face to face, stories of difficulty and grief, of relief and hope, stories of thanksgiving and generosity. To all of us, Jesus Christ says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." When we carry one another's burdens, whether we know it or not, we share in the ministry of Christ, offering that rest to one another. Our gratitude to those who have supported us through this period might now transform the way we actually live. The great Swiss theologian Hans-Urs von Balthasar wrote that thankfulness becomes specifically Christian thankfulness when it becomes fruitful. We move from the virtual to the physical. This is a good time to recommit to the fullness of our faith, so that the life of God in Christ can shape our own life in the small day-to-day things, as well as in the big decisions. Right at the heart of that should be the commitment that we can live for others as Christ lives and pleads for us. His invitation echoes in our hearts. Come to me, and I will give you rest.
The anthem, "O Hearken Thou," is a setting of verses from the fifth psalm by Edward Elgar, sung for us here by the Abbey Choir.
Thank you.
Let us now come to the Lord in prayer. First, let us give thanks that public worship can now resume, and pray for all who are working to regather the people of God. Let us remember those who remain isolated, and any who feel increasingly anxious or vulnerable as restrictions are eased. Let us remember the people of Leicester and all who continue to endure restrictions for all our sakes. And let us pray for those who continue to support and protect us through this crisis, particularly within the National Health Service. And pray for the souls of all critical workers who have died doing that work. O God, the protector of all that trust in thee, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us thy mercy, that thou being our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we finally lose not the things eternal. Grant this, O Heavenly Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our Lord. Amen. And finally, let us pray in the words Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Now that we can reopen the Abbey for public worship, this will be the last of our weekly podcasts. But we will continue to produce them occasionally in the future, to mark significant moments in the Church's year or in our national life. Details will be posted on the Abbey website. Now let us bow our heads and pray God's blessing upon us. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.